Robert Hale is Undersecretary of Defense, Comptroller, and Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Defense. Sir, thank you for your time today. Where were you able to move money from in order to cut furlough days from 11 to 6 this week, sir?
Well, Francis, first, thanks for the chance to talk with you. Let me give you just a little brief background, and then I'll answer your specific question. If you go back to the time sequestration started for DOD March 1st, we were about $30 billion short in our operating budgets, partly sequestration, partly wartime needs. We took a lot of steps, cutting back on a hiring freeze for civilians, cutting back facilities maintenance, major cuts in training and maintenance, weapons maintenance funding. By late April, early May, when we were making the furlough decision, we were down to a gap of about $11 billion. And at that point, Secretary Hagel decided that reluctantly we had to impose furloughs of up to 11 days. But he said, go try to close the rest of the gap and let's see if we can reduce the number. And we did just that with the reprogramming and moving money around so that recently we faced the having closed that gap, what would we reduce furlough? What would we do to reduce furlough days? And we made a decision to push off into fiscal 14 some facilities maintenance costs of fixing runways, hangars, motor pools, offices. Even though that will defer some bills, and we would have preferred not to do it, nonetheless, the furloughs were seriously affecting productivity and morale, and we thought that was the right decision. So I think that's the answer to your specific question. Mainly facilities maintenance, pushing them off was our means of getting the reduction in days.
Now that's obviously not going to get you through if you're stuck in this situation in 2014. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But
right.
Is that the extent, though, of where you were able to pull money from this year? You didn't have to go into any major systems or anything like that, sir?
Well, part of the way we closed the gap, go back to the $11 billion 3 months ago, a major way we closed that gap was through a reprogramming action, which where we asked Congress to let us move money from accounts from one account to another. And most of those moves were from acquisition accounts, weapon systems, into our operating accounts. So, yes, we definitely made some reductions in the acquisition side as we closed that $11 billion gap and got to the point where we could reduce furloughs.
Was there a gap between the reprogramming power that you asked Congress for and what they actually granted to you, or did they give you the ability to move all the money around that you asked them to?
No, they turned down some. And under the reprogramming, they limit both the total dollar amount, that's by law, and then they review each individual transaction where we want to move something, say, from an acquisition account into our operating accounts. They turned down a number of those in our first large reprogram we submitted in May. We went back with the second one, and they have approved most of that second one. So we got pretty close in the end to our request. It took a while and a few tries.
You mentioned that Secretary Hagel said when he first announced the 11 number that it would be up to 11, and we all speculated, my colleagues in the media and I, that the door was then open for what we did eventually see this week. Is this it now? Have you used all of the reprogramming power and scraped the bottom, as it were, to find all the money that you can?
I mean, yes, we're not going to make any more changes in furlough days. We're on our fifth day this week. Next week, for almost all our employees, will be the last week, and it will end next week, but we won't make any more changes. Now, as we get right to the end of the fiscal year, there may maybe some changes in other areas, but none that will affect furloughs.
As we look then at 14, because we are now only about a month and a half or a month and 3 weeks away from the end of this fiscal year, and you're in the process of having to think about this all over again. The talk on the Hill does seem to be about a continuing resolution. I certainly don't want you to speculate about that. But what are you looking at, and what are you thinking about, and how are you anticipating what you are going to need to be able to do the beginning of October, when you don't really have a framework in place either from either chamber in Congress or from the White House?
Well, it's hard not knowing where we're headed at this point, and as close as we are to fiscal 14, as you noted. We are planning under a number of scenarios. We still fully support the president's budget request for defense. We think it's the right amount of funding to that we need and meet a complex set of national security objectives. But we are also looking at what would happen if the current caps in the Budget Control Act remain in place and we have to execute at lower levels. I'm going to say under both those levels, there's so much uncertainty. I can't be sure what happens next year, but I can say we will do everything we can to avoid imposing furloughs again next year. We recognize they hurt both morale and productivity, and as I said, we want to do everything we can to avoid them.
With the furloughs that you had to do this year, obviously you expected them to be difficult on morale, but are you surprised at the extraordinary impact that they have had on the way that people do their jobs around your office, around your building?
No. I mean, I think we knew these were going to be bad. I'll hark back to what I said earlier. We faced an $11 billion shortfall. We had some ideas how to fix it, but we weren't sure any of them were going to work. And we'd already cut training and maintenance more than we wanted to, so we didn't feel we had a choice last May. I think we did it with our eyes open. When you take you cut people's paychecks 20%, it's going to affect their morale and their financial situation. And we knew that we rely on civilians. We can't fight effectively without them. I mean, they fix our weapons, they staff our hospitals, they teach our kids, they take care of our people, and they man many of our offices and our bases. So I think we knew that productivity would be adversely affected. That's why we were trying so hard to see if we first could avoid, and then we couldn't do that, at least minimize the number of furlough days.
A question about sequestration. Is the sequestration as a vehicle the problem with this, or is it the way in which you arrive at the top line number? For example, if the number is $500 billion, and that's a number that you receive through regular order appropriations, is that easier to deal with than if that's the number that you arrive at through sequestration? I guess what I'm getting at is sequestration more important as a concept, or is the top line number that you have to work with more important as the concept? Because I got kind of mixed signals when Secretary Hagel talked about the results of the skimmer this week.
Well, it kind of if we are required to adhere to the current limits in the Budget Control Act, we'll have to reduce the president's budget request by $52 billion in fiscal year 14. Even if that happened under regular order and appropriation, it would be a huge challenge. It takes a while to get savings in an organization like this that has forces spread all around the world and that remains at war, I might add. And it takes a while when you reduce forces, you don't get immediate savings. So you're forced to make disproportionate cuts in modernization and readiness accounts. So the $52 billion cut will be a major problem even if done through regular order. It'll be even worse if we do it through the formal sequestration procedures, because they mandate that the cuts be equal in percentage terms at, say, every line item, essentially, in the investment account. So you have to take every single weapon. You have very limited flexibility unless you go back through this difficult process of reprogramming. So the cut itself is a problem, and it's even worse if we do it under formal sequestration rules.
As you prepare for this uncertainty, what can you do other than just wait? I mean, certainly that's not the only thing that you can do, because you've got to be ready to do business October 1st.
Well, we are planning for a variety of scenarios. As I said before, we still hope that the Congress appropriates at the president's budget request level. And I might add, all four of our committees have now marked up at or very close to that level. But we recognize that the law out there, unless the Budget Control Act has changed, that we are going to be down by an amount. So we're planning for that, too. And it does make it very difficult to be essentially planning and replanning fiscal 14 while we're also trying to look at the years beyond. And there's enormous uncertainty as well. That's a particularly challenging and, I must say, frustrating period of time for people working here in the Pentagon, and I know for all of our employees. And although the civilians have been most affected by what's gone on in the last few months, the military is also a problem. We've stopped training at a number of places, and our military personnel didn't really join to sit around and not train. So I think I'm sure they're frustrated as well. Hopefully, we will resolve this issue over the next few months and move to a more orderly process.
Is all of the focus on having to deal with all of these issues, sir, impacting the ability of the Defense Department to get their books ready for auditing, to hit your 2014 deadline, then your 2017 deadline? Is this impacting that at all, or is that on a separate track?
Well, it's certainly not helping. I mean, I think the major problem is it is sucking away the time of our senior leaders that we need to move toward auditable financial statements. And obviously, if we end up at $52 billion less, it will tighten the reduce the number of resources, potentially reduce the number of resources we have available. We're still pushing hard and hope to and expect to meet the majority, certainly, of these deadlines and all of them if we possibly can. But the budgetary chaos is definitely hurting.